It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This is hit well in a center field. That one's carrying out at center. It's out of here. Ohtani with a pinch hit home run. At the plate is Mike Trout. The pitch on its way. It's blasted out to dead center field. Out of here. Ball gets away. He's going to break for the plate. Ball game is over. The Angels with a walk-off win here in the bottom of the ninth inning.
This is the Angels Recap Podcast, a review of the past week in Angels baseball. Here's your host, Trent Rush.
What's going on? Hello and welcome to the Angels Recap Podcast, episode number 71. Can you believe we've already done 71 of these? And what a great guest we have today. We're going to talk some baseball with Andrew Heaney. We're going to go in depth and talk some of his pitching, his approach, his offseason work, and we'll be going just a little bit more in detail than we normally do on the radio with Andrew Heaney. It's a really good baseball conversation. I'm looking forward to you checking that out. Well, the Angels right now, as we're taping this before their game on Wednesday against the Texas Rangers, coming off of a Shohei Ohtani outing where he went four innings. Now, yeah, he struck out seven in those four scoreless frames, gave up just a hit, also walked six and hit a batter. It was kind of a roller coaster day for Shohei Ohtani, a day where Ohtani said his command was a 0 out of 100, a day where Ohtani said he only had one pitch working, but still tossed four scoreless innings. I don't know what to make of that other than I think it's good that Shohei Ohtani was able to work out of some traffic, and I think that that's something that he can kind of bank in his brain there for knowing how to get out of situations when he gets in trouble down the road. I took it as a positive. Look, six walks and a hit batter in four innings, absolutely. That is far too many for Shohei to have sustained success. However, for me, it did feel like more of an anomaly than a trend with Shohei Ohtani. I know he's had some command trouble before, but again, this guy has not pitched regularly since 2018, and it was his first start in 2 weeks coming off the blister thing. I think in that first inning, I think that blister might have been in his head a little bit. And we've talked about this almost ad nauseum with Shohei Ohtani. He's got to have confidence in his ability, which he always seems to have, and confidence in his body, which has wavered at times. And, you know, no longer worried about the forearm, but he was concerned about the blister, clearly, it seemed like in the first inning. But once he got that kind of out of his brain and was able to put that behind him, I thought Shohei actually pitched really well yesterday. And a day where he did not have his best stuff, he tossed four scoreless innings. So if that's the expectation for Shohei Ohtani, my goodness, sky's the limit for what this guy is going to be able to do. Well, the Angels as a pitching staff definitely are looking to improve as far as ERA is concerned. At the time of recording this, the Angels 12th right now in starter ERA in the American League, but the bullpen has been pretty good. They're 7th right now out of the 15 teams in the AL and looking to improve upon that. I think that there are some good signs we're seeing from this Angels bullpen at the moment. I mean, look, Raisel Iglesias pitched on Tuesday night, came in non-save situation, but came in to shut the door, hadn't pitched in 6 days, and what had been a pretty interesting week for the Angels. You know, they came in thinking that they were going to play six games here on the homestand. They looked so good on Friday night against the Minnesota Twins, won that game 10-3. Just everything was clicking for the Angels on that particular day. And then the COVID news with the Minnesota Twins basically shut them down for 3 days. But what that also meant, a side effect of that as far as baseball is concerned, is the Angels couldn't play on Saturday and Sunday. So those games are going to be made up later in the season. We don't have the details on that as of yet. But again, those games will be made up at some point. But I thought that was kind of a bummer because the Angels had looked so good on Friday. They were coming off a road trip where they had to deal with all kinds of injuries, and it seemed like they were finally getting themselves established. Looked great on Friday night, and you know, they were kind of chomping at the bit to go out and play on Saturday, and then the game ends up getting canceled, or not canceled, postponed is the right word. there. But, you know, the Angels wanted to play that day. Couldn't happen. I thought having two unexpected days off in the season probably did more harm than good in the moment for the Angels. Joe Maddon kind of alluded to that as well. And I thought the Angels came out really flat on Monday against the Texas Rangers in the series opener. But then they came back looking really good on Tuesday night in a bounce back effort, kind of got more back on track there. Look, the Angels on Monday were down 6-0. And then the seventh inning strung together a bit of a rally, put four runs on the board. A lot of good things for the Angels in that situation. Albert Pujols stole a base in that situation. So that was awesome to see. But all in all, just kind of a flat game on Monday for the Angels before they came back and looked outstanding, I thought, on Tuesday in a really complete team effort. Trouty hits the home run, 464 feet. Albert Pujols hits a home run the exact same distance. How about this? At 115.5 miles per hour for Mike Trout, that's the hardest hit home run he's ever had. That's amazing. And then it went 464 feet, and then in the same game, one inning later, Albert Pujols hits a home run that goes the same distance. That's wild to me. It shows you what Albert can do. In 24 hours, Albert steals a bag, which he's done now in every one of his 20 full seasons. Didn't steal a base last year in the abbreviated 60 game, whatever that was. But in every full season of Albert's career, he's now stolen a base. That's an incredible stat. And then 24 hours later, hits a home run 464 feet. So pretty impressive right there for Albert Pujols, who's had to play already more first base than you'd probably expect Albert to play, with Jared Walsh having to be in right field a bit with Lagares down, and obviously Dexter Fowler done for the season. But it does seem like the Angels are starting to get a grip on their injury situation. Still waiting on Anthony Rendon. And my takeaway over the last week, it seems like the Angels have been able to weather this storm with Anthony Rendon on the injured list. Obviously, you'd like them to, you know, be even better than what they were. But at the time of recording this, 15 games into the season, the Angels at 9-6. I think you would take that, understanding that Rendon would have already had an IL stint for half of that. And, you know, he was eligible to come back on Wednesday. There's a chance we see him in Houston. Probably more likely that we see him by the Texas Rangers series at the start of next week, as the Angels now hit the road for 10 days as they try to, you know, finish out a really important stretch in the schedule. Look, I try not to make too much of April games, but when you got 13 straight in division, 10 of them on the road, that becomes a fairly critical part of your schedule. You know, I don't care if you're playing the games in April, if you're playing them in August, September, whenever. When you're playing division opponents, you got to take care of business. And the Angels, in that stretch, six of those games against the Texas Rangers, you get Houston for four, and then three against Seattle. So, very critical time for the Angels. And I think probably a good news that the Angels aren't catching Oakland right now. At the time of recording this, the A's had won 10 in a row. So, Oakland is hot right now, as them and the Seattle Mariners have a half-game lead on the Angels in the division. I'm not overly concerning myself with the standings right now. I think it's going to be a very close, competitive division much of the way through. But right now, for the Angels to be in the mix, sure, you'll take three games over 500. No question about that. All right, now it's time to check in with Friday night starting pitcher. It's Andrew Heaney, who's going to get the nod on the bump Friday in Houston. But before that, he and I had a conversation just talking some baseball. And here now, our chat with Andrew Heaney. All right, we're being joined now by Angels starting pitcher Andrew Heaney, hanging out with us here on the Angels Recap Podcast, the Angels pregame show. I guess we're going to run this a couple times. So we got Andrew Heaney with us now. First things first, Andrew, my wife wanted me to check in with you. How are the puppies doing?
Pups are good. They're back home. My wife Jordan's back home right now, so they're enjoying Oklahoma and having a nice big backyard.
I was going to ask about that, because is that typical that Jordan stays back in Oklahoma and then you come out here for the season? Do you guys normally travel together? How's that usually work?
It's kind of year to year. I mean, obviously everything going on the last year or so has been a little bit strange, and so she's there now, but she'll hopefully be coming out, you know, maybe sometime in June or something like that. So, it's not ideal. Obviously, I'd love to have her and the dogs here with me, but like I said, they're probably happy being at home. So, it makes me happy.
Yeah, I think we all know in the last 14 months, all of our worlds have been turned topsy turvy here. So, I get that absolutely. Andrew, I want to talk about your season so far. And I know the last couple of starts have been really strong for you. What kind of things do you feel like for you are kind of helping you get a little bit more comfortable here? I know it's early, but it seems like you've really pitched well the last two times out in particular.
Yeah, I feel really good about the last two times. You know, unfortunately, I had a very not good one, the first time out. And I think as pitchers, you know, you've probably heard it before, and you're going to make, 10 starts. Two of them you're going to have your best stuff. Two of them you're going to have your worst stuff. And it's the six in between. So I like to chalk the one up. My first start of the year is kind of having bad stuff and, not making pitches when I needed to, and one swing kind of killed me. But I've been feeling good. I mean, I'm confident with what I'm doing right now. The last two times have been definitely good for my confidence level, after the start that I had, and just hope to keep going.
You know, that's always something that I've kind of wondered about, like finding that consistency. And I mean, I guess you could probably apply this to any occupation or anything you do in life. But I mean, we get to see it on a bigger stage with starting pitchers in particular, about finding that rhythm. And like you said, you can have a couple starts where you're just on fire and then kind of one goes awry. How do you work to try to find a more consistent, results when it's, you're trying to, I know always trying to go about it the same way, but sometimes that's kind of tough to do. So how do you go about trying to find that consistency?
Well, it's funny. You said it perfectly. I mean, results, right? Like every time I take the mound, I don't feel the same. But there's times where I've gone on the mound and felt great and got horrible results. And there's times that I've gone on the mound and felt horrible and got great results. So for me and, for a lot of other guys, it's finding your own personal consistency. And you just are hoping that the results follow that, right? You hope you get the results you feel, you deserve or you earned or however you want to put it. Sometimes it works out that way. Sometimes it doesn't. There's definitely games where you walk off the mound and you go, whew, like I somehow escaped that, and there's other times where you walk off and go, wow, I look at the game and how I pitched and I don't feel like I got the same results. And so, it's really more about focusing on yourself. For me, what I'm doing, mechanically and what I'm doing in my prep work and how I'm feeling, on the mound and being able to control the game and trying to do my best job of limiting damage.
I know you talk about that prep work. I understand, especially for you, that doesn't just happen on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. I know that for you, that started in the offseason, and you talked about going to local college out in Oklahoma, reconnecting with Doug White, getting the Rapsodo machine. Yeah. What was kind of the genesis behind all of that to want to take that, approach, a little bit more of an individualistic approach, but, trying to handle that away from everybody else when everyone's kind of isolated in these crazy times?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously with everything that was going on, I mean, that was kind of a necessity, right? But also, I think kind of understanding that getting a better understanding of yourself, how you tick, what makes you good, what makes you not good, what you may perceive as being strengths, what other people perceive as your strengths, and then trying to hone in on that. I think everybody does it to some extent. Everybody does it in a different way. But for me, it was definitely more of an individual, isolated kind of off season. And sometimes I feel like I work better that way. For me, it was good. It was healthy, I think, just having a little bit of a mental reset on how I approach things. And so, I'm not going to sit here and act like I was doing something revolutionary, right? It was just kind of a little bit of a rethink on how I wanted to approach my off season. So, I've taken that, and there's been things I still tinker with. And, I think that, anybody who's a professional athlete or a professional at anything that they do, is always trying to be better, right? Like, you don't ever want to feel like you're satisfied with the results that you're getting. There's always something you feel like you can do better. And if you're not moving forward, then you're standing still and you're going to get passed. So I think that's kind of the idea that I've had in my mind, and just never settle for anything and always trying to get better.
I think when people hear the word Rapsodo, they instantly, you know, you're talking about, you know, the analytics of baseball and what comes with that. And I know that that's something for you that you've kind of, you know, dove into a little bit this past offseason and try to get some of that. How much stock do you put into, like, those numbers? I guess, how do you balance out, like, what you know and feel and that versus, like, trying to see, like, the numbers and those results? Like, how do you weigh that balance just for yourself?
Well, I mean, I think that comes in a bunch of different ways. Numbers don't lie, right?
Yep.
But sometimes those numbers may spit out something that's not telling you how you feel. Or maybe it's telling you, you know, when you throw, you know, if you throw a slider and you say, oh, man, I feel like that had a lot of good depth to it, right? But then you go and you look at the numbers and the depth wasn't all that great. Comparatively, like I compared myself strictly to my own self, right? Bullpen to bullpen in my offseason, just looking to improve my own arsenal. I wasn't compared to, oh, well, this guy throws it with this much spin or this guy does it. You know what I mean? I'm only looking at it to see how I can improve myself. And so I used it in that way, and I think that's, for me, was the most healthy way to go about it. And getting a better understanding of what my ball is doing when I throw it. Like, I mean, I know that sounds simple, but when I'm in the act of throwing a baseball, like a fastball, is, you know, as hard as I can or with the most precision I can, sometimes it's not easy to perceive what it's doing, right? I'm only picking it up halfway, you know, three quarters of the way to the plate. So getting a better understanding of what it's doing. And then I use the, you know, the high speed camera, like on my hand positioning to understand better, you know, where my hand was in space, right? Like, I mean, we're talking about fractions of seconds. You can think that your hand is in one place and your body's in one place where your brain is telling you. And then you go look at the slow motion camera, which isn't going to lie to you. And you're going to be, you could be in a completely different spot. And so I think just getting a better understanding of my own self was really kind of eye opening. And again, I'm not sitting here saying that that's made me some completely different player, right? But it does make certain things easier because I understand that sometimes my eyes are deceiving me, sometimes my body's deceiving me, sometimes my brain's deceiving me. And, you know, traditionally that would just be your coach standing behind or your catcher telling you or the feedback you get from the hitter. But now we have an external, you know, external cues that are giving you numbers that can also give you it's just an extra piece to the puzzle.
I would imagine there's at least, I mean, in some circles, probably some fear, right? That maybe you get all this information but you don't want it to like clutter your brain when you're out there. So I guess does that, like the things that you look for when you're working out in, let's say, January, gearing up for spring training, are you looking at different things then than maybe what you would look at like now in between starts?
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, in the off season, I'm throwing fastballs and looking at spin efficiency or throwing changeups and looking at spin direction or throwing sliders and looking at pitch shapes, right? Like I'm not getting that feedback when I'm out there on the mound, right? Like I have to trust what I see and what I feel. But if I have more belief in what I'm seeing and understanding based on the work that I did in the off season, what's happening then and there and can more quickly and accurately process it when I'm on the mound, right? Like that's going to help me make in-game adjustments better. That's going to help me be, you know, maybe more confident in what I'm seeing versus how the hitters are reacting or, you know what I mean, vice versa. So I think that to me is a huge benefit. You're right. At the end of the day, when I walk out on the field, like it's compete mode, it's go mode. Like I can only control what I'm doing out there on the mound, and I just have to trust the processes that got me there.
Yeah, that's really interesting, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. I think it's really good perspective. What's Matt Wise been like out there as your pitching coach? Yeah,
I love Weiser. I think earlier you were talking about, you know, too much information and having too many things going on. I think he's able to, you know, look at it from both perspectives, right? Like, I mean, he understands the, you know, the numbers, the analytical side of it. We have a great front office that makes it completely easy to process. They give us great little tidbits on things that are going on. And we can talk about that in any way he wants, right? Like he's able to disseminate that information to each person in the way that he thinks that they're best going to digest it, right? Some guys don't want their, you know, their data from the Hawkeye or TrackMan system or whatever. They just want to look at video and talk about how hitters reacted or vice versa or whatever. So I think he's able to give that to us in bite-sized pieces and break it down and translate it into when I'm out here on a mound during a bullpen working on something, he's able to communicate what he's seeing and what I'm feeling, and we can make adjustments from there rather than, you know, we don't need to sit down and run a, you know, analytical, you know, breakdown of why that was a crappy slider or whatever, right? Like, we can just talk about it in baseball terms. And I think the ability to do that is, it's not easy. I don't think everybody can do it.
I think that's really cool hearing you say that, because, like, for me, everyone knows I've never been in your position, right? But at the same time, I think that you can see, like, all the information coming and be thinking, like, there's nothing wrong with getting more information. Like, more data is never a bad thing. It's how you process it and how you understand it. So when you have that, I mean, that seems to be really cool. And it's, you know, for hearing you say that it's coming from the front office and down, and Weiser translates that really well, that's pretty cool. Just in regards to just the feel of this team, fans have talked about it. There seems to be a different energy in the ballpark. It seems to be a different energy with this team. Again, I'm not in the room, but looking from afar, it definitely seems like this group, there's something different about this team than maybe some years past. Are you feeling that same kind of thing?
Definitely. I think for multiple reasons. I mean, obviously, nobody last year enjoyed playing in front of empty stadiums. So even just opening weekend, having, I don't know what our total, 13, 15,000, however many we had, like, it felt like a packed stadium. So just having that crowd there, like, that makes a huge difference for us. And it's so much more enjoyable. And I hope fans are enjoying being back in the stadium and seeing it live, because I know we are. And then from a personality standpoint, I mean, we just have so many guys who are just, I mean, they're just enjoyable to be around. Like, guys that, whether they're just keep it loose in the clubhouse, keep it loose in the dugout, guys that are just more than willing to share their experiences, their information. We've got a lot of guys that we brought in that have a lot of baseball experience at a very high level. Just being able to talk to, you know, to Suzuki, you know, Zook's got so many valuable little nuggets of things that he's learned over the, you know, course of his, I think, 14 years of being in the big leagues and being behind the plate. You know, you got a guy like Dex, who's just, like, one of the most positive, like, upbeat person, you know, people I've ever been around, and it's, like, so enjoyable, and I think that's contagious. And, you know, we've played some really close games and come out on top, and I think that breeds an energy, you know, into the clubhouse and into the team. So, I mean, I think, like, you know, just to name a few things, but it's just an overall feel, and I think everybody's enjoying it. And, you know, I think that kind of stuff will continue to build over the course of the year. I feel like a lot of guys feel like we've got a good start, but kind of spun our tires here recently, and it just feels like we're close to taking off.
Hey, that's the sense that I get watching you guys. I mean, it just seems like, you know, you get those close wins, you can build on that. It's pretty cool. And I'll just tell you this, Andrew. When I am watching, like, it's not just watching Angels games, like, watching across baseball, I know that, you know, everyone's wanting to compete all the time. To me, the level of play has been so much better this year than last year. Like not just in Angels games, like, yeah, across the board in baseball. I mean, do you think there's something to that with just the different energy of the fans being in the building? It seems like it to me.
It is absolutely a real thing. I mean, you can ask any pitcher, you probably talk to hitters, whatever. Like, you can go out there and try and, you know, throw as hard as you want in a bullpen, you know, and then you get out on the mound, you get an extra 2 or 3 miles an hour, right? Like, you get a different, like, adrenaline rush, a different vibe of, like, having fans in the stands, a different energy. Just feels like, you know, you've seen it. Like, you've come to games where you just feel like the fans and the players feed off each other. I think it's a real thing. And, you know, I'd also like to say that, you know, everybody that plays professionally in their sport thinks that their era is the best ever played, right? Like, yeah, probably the guys that played in the 90s thought that that was the best that baseball's ever been. But I got to tell you, like, I mean, there's a ton of really good players across the league. I mean, a lot of really good players. And I think, you know, I know I'd sit back and watch and I'm like, oh my goodness, like, I get to play with or compete against these guys, and I just know that I'm competing against the best, and that brings out the best in a lot of people as well, knowing that they're going out there and, you know, they're getting the most from the guys in their dugout, and they know they're getting the most from the guys across from them too.
Hey, man, I've really appreciated the conversation today. I tell you what, it's fun seeing Angels fans back at the ballpark. We get to all enjoy a little piece of Americana, a little baseball together. Yeah. I think it's awesome. And really appreciate the time today, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Trent.
Look, I really enjoy when you can take some time with a player, have a thoughtful baseball conversation, really get into some of the nitty-gritty, into some of the details. And I really appreciate Andrew Heaney for sharing some of that with us. Wanted to touch on this for a moment, too. So on Friday night, the Angels, because that was April 16th, April 15th across baseball, everybody wears number 42 in honor of Jackie Robinson. The Angels didn't have a game on the 15th, so on the 16th, they honored Jackie Robinson. And one of the umpires in that game, Malachi Moore, is a Southern California product. And this is important because he has a lot of ties to the Urban Youth Academy that's in Compton, California. That's his hometown where Malachi was born and raised. He was an umpire in that game. I was so bummed because I thought we were going to get to see him on Sunday behind the plate. So we still have to wait for that. But, you know, his first time at the Big A with fans. It was not his first time part of an umpire crew without fans. But Malachi Moore graduated from Compton College, three-sport high school athlete, actually played football with Richard Sherman at Dominguez High. It's an incredible story. I have not known all that much about like how you become an umpire. And Malachi basically was encouraged by Kerwin Danley, a longtime big league ump, to pursue a scholarship to go to umpire school. And Malachi took that opportunity. And in fact, now he's even an instructor at the Wendelstadt Umpire School. But Malachi Moore started his umpiring career in the Northwoods League back in 2012. He even worked a part of the Futures game in Washington, D.C. back in 2018. He is what's considered to be an MLB call-up. He spent a full season and a half in the Pacific Coast League, which is now AAA West. But he was a AAA call-up umpire. But for him, I thought pretty cool. In his second series as part of a crew at Angel Stadium, made his major league debut a season ago. It was 20 games that he worked last season. But for Malachi Moore, a Southern California product, to be at the Big A, I thought was pretty special. And it goes even deeper than that. Malachi is a great story and an inspiration to so many people. He just moved to Phoenix with his wife and two sons. He's got a 7-year-old and a 9-month-old. His oldest son is Nehemiah, who is named after Malachi's late brother, who was in fact shot and killed at 19 years old in Compton back in 2006. Malachi said that was a wake-up call for him to get his own life in order, and has done some incredible things, and now is a major league umpire and an inspiration, I think, to a lot of people in his community, and a lot of people that have been able to see his success and growth. And now he's trying to continue to inspire others and help other people get on the right path that he was able to get on. Malachi Moore, I think, is just a really interesting story. At some point, maybe somewhere down the line, we'll be able to have him on an Angels Recap podcast. I just think that he's just a really interesting guy, and I think his story is fantastic and pretty cool that on the day that the Angels all were wearing number 42 on Jackie Robinson Day at the Big A here in 2021, that Malachi Moore, a Southern California native, was a part of the Angels and the Twins umpiring crew in that game. I thought that was pretty special. All right, that's going to just about do it for us here on the Angels Recap Podcast. For Hannah Stang and everybody at AM 830 and Angels Baseball to help put this podcast together, my name is Trent Rush, and you know what, more than anything else, thanks to each and every one of you for tuning in to AM 830, for listening to the Angels Recap Podcast, for hitting that subscribe button and being a subscriber. Definitely love your involvement on the show. We love when you get involved after every Angels home game as part of the Angels Recap show that we do after the game where we answer your questions, your comments, your concerns. We take care of business live on the air on AM 830, the home of Angels baseball. It's always fun breaking down the games, getting to hear from players and coaches, and more than anything else, to have you have that space to, you know, sometimes it's to vent, sometimes it's to cheer and to celebrate, and we have a party on the radio, especially after Angels wins. It's when it's even more fun, no question about that, but love your involvement there, and again, that's on AM 830 in Southern California, and also AM830.net. If you live elsewhere, you can download the app and be a part of our Angels Recap family after all the Angels home games, breaking things down, and again, we try to take time to go in depth on that show too, and really get into the details. I love that. I think that's what makes baseball. It's what we try to do on this podcast, what we try to do on the radio as well. All right, have a great rest of your day, and thanks for tuning in to the Angels Recap Podcast. Take care, everybody.